This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Coming at you from the Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Dustin Sweetelson alongside Kelly Bidlin. It is a numbers game, VSiN, the sports betting network. You can smell football in the air, fresh off the heels of the Hall of Fame game, which Kelly was saying in the break, probably the best Hall of Fame game we've ever seen.
It's the best Hall of Fame game anybody's ever watched. You never expect that when the Hall of Fame game rolls around that you're actually going to get exciting offensive football, right? I mean, that was back and forth.
And we love getting caught up in the prisoner of the moment of the football reaction. And to help us examine what's to come in the season, I'm thrilled for this conversation. He is Daryl Moose Johnston, NFL on Fox analyst. And we were talking in the break. He's been doing this for a long time. We're talking the longest tenured analyst in the game right now. That is so cool. You've been a fixture in our lives. We welcome you into our homes every single week. It's been going on for 25 years here. Three-time Super Bowl champ as well. And I want to begin with your Dallas Cowboys because I think a lot of us in the media, Moose, have to eat some crow. We all questioned the Brian Schottenheimer hire a year ago. I got to tell you, the Dallas Cowboys were a good competitive football team last year, and I have no reason to believe that defense won't get better with some of the moves that they made in the offseason. Where do you stand on Dallas and how they sit in this NFC East?
Yeah, this is going to be hard because everybody's going to think I'm a homer. But I'm the same as you when they fired Mike McCarthy and then elevated Brian Schottenheimer. You know, a lot of that stayed status quo. And you're like, why wouldn't you just stay with Mike then? You know, he had 12-5, three consecutive seasons. Is this a bump in the road season with all the injuries? But they make the change. And I same as you, I'm very impressed with Coach Schottenheimer. And I was a huge fan of his dad, Marty. So I shouldn't have been surprised. But this year they did a Legends Day, and they brought out all the old Cowboys, and we got to sit in on team meetings, go to positional meetings, be at practice, have a meal afterwards with everybody. And the energy and the vibe in the team meeting was very, very unique. It was so different than anything I had experienced during my playing days. And Coach Schottenheimer had anybody that was a part of a Super Bowl championship with the Dallas Cowboys to stand up and just, hey, what's one of the things that you thought was important? So my guys can hear, you know, what we need to do to start getting this thing pointed back towards a Super Bowl championship. So I thought it was awesome. I got an opportunity to visit with Christian Parker a little bit. And I think one of the big things that we took away from that was the offensive players talking about how much better the defense was this year, the communication. They were not moving the football in OTAs as successfully as they were last year. So I think a lot of the guys on the offensive side are already excited about what Christian Parker has brought in as a defensive coach. And I think the cool thing there is a lot of times you see a coach come in and he's bringing some of his guys in that have been on that journey throughout coaching. And, you know, Christian kind of just looked at each position and who's the best guy out there and let me bring him in and hire him. So I think that this defense, and again, you talked about Coach Schottenheimer last year on the offensive side of the ball. They don't have to be great. They just have to be good. And I think that they're going to surprise some people. I really do. I think the personnel fits what Christian Parker's scheme is about. You've got some of those chess piece type guys that are in that lineup. I think they've done a really good job at getting that front shored up. The big question for Dallas is going to be the linebacker position. I think in the secondary, they shored up some things there. And if everybody can stay healthy, I think Dallas has an opportunity to win the NFC East. I really do.
Yeah, Moose, once again, this is, you know, one of the more interesting divisions in football to me. You step back and look at what all these teams have done in the off seasons and kind of expectations. Where are you at in the rest of the NFC East? Where do you think this Cowboys team stacks up with the rest of them, specifically Commanders and Giants? How much of a step forward do you think both those teams could make this year?
Yeah, I think the entire division got better in the offseason. Now, are we back to the level that the NFC was back in the early 90s when I was playing? No. I mean, that was an unbelievable time for that division. But I do believe that everybody got better. I think John Harbaugh coming into New York makes them better immediately. I like the staff that he's assembled there. There's a lot of talent that he can work with. The offensive line is rounding out. I think that that's the biggest thing in the NFC East is going to be the trenches. And the team that's dominated that for a long time is Philadelphia. And I think the other three are starting to catch up to that as Philadelphia kind of comes down a little bit with some of the injuries there. So for me, I really believe that the Giants are going to be in the mix. And last year, everybody was 1-1 against Philly. You know, everybody split with Philly, even with the records that they had. So I think the Commanders will take a step. I think that they're the one that I want to keep an eye on a little bit more. I don't know how much of a move that'll be because really everything depends on Jaden Daniels. You know, does he stay healthy this year? They really weren't able to get a lot around him. Some big changes on defense. Both coordinators are new. I think that's the other thing in the NFC East is we've got a lot of change at the coordinator level, along with not just John Harbaugh as the head coach of the Giants, but you look at the other three teams and everybody's got some changes with the play callers on the offensive or defensive side of the ball and for Washington on both. So I really think it's going to be Dallas and Philly battling at the top. I think the Giants, if they can stay healthy, will be close right behind those two. And then Washington will bring up the back of the pack. And if everybody stays healthy in Washington, you know, they have the ability to win a game at any time. So I think it's going to be a fun division. I really do.
Chatting with the great Daryl Moose Johnson, NFL on Fox, 3-time Super Bowl champ, 2-time Pro Bowler on the team on NFL on Fox, Kevin Kugler, Allison Williams. And week one, they're going to be in Cincinnati as the Buccaneers are in town. Bengals are 3.5-point favorites, totals 51.5. I am fascinated by both of these teams this year, Moose. Tampa Bay's got some drama off the field, but the division rightfully favored to win it. Cincinnati's the one. I don't know if it's an annual thing for you, but I just talk myself into this team every single offseason, and I think that this is a team that could be there at the end in L.A. again for the Super Bowl.
I agree. Yeah, it's kind of odd. We've had Cincinnati, I think this is our third time in the last 6 years to have them in the opening week of the season. They kind of went through that slow start thing. We had that conversation with them, you know, for a couple of years, getting off to the slow start and, you know, did you make some changes during training camp? I think this year, the big thing is the focus is on the defensive side of the ball. And very similar to what we talked about in Dallas, you know, how good Dallas's offense was if they just had a defense to match with it. Cincinnati's the same way. And then obviously last year, Joe Burrow getting hurt. If Joe Burrow can stay healthy, I think if the defense meshes quickly, which, you know, just kind of getting ready for week one and reading through some of the training camp notes that we're hearing coming out, the defense has been very competitive, very similar to what I just talked about in Dallas, where the offense is commenting on how much better the defense is this year. I think we're hearing the same thing out of Cincinnati and their defense, how much better they are this year in year two under Al Golden and some of those pieces coming in. You know, Dexter Lawrence gets a lot of that credit, but Jonathan Allen is there as well. So that's pretty formidable in the inside. So there's some really good news coming out of Cincinnati. And again, a lot of change in the other three teams in the division. So there's a little bit of continuity and then the improvement on the defensive side of the ball, you know, give the Cincinnati Bengals an opportunity. And it's funny that you said that about the Super Bowl, because I'm doing some homework last night and I'm looking at everything. And one of the things that kind of jumped out to me was, could we see another Rams Bengals Super Bowl at SoFi again, like we did in 2021, 2022. So, you know, I think that there's a potential there. I'm leaning a little bit more towards another conference in the AFC, that I think will probably surprise some people. It's not the West, but there's one that I think is going to be very competitive, and that iron sharpens iron thing that comes out of that. I think the team that comes through the playoffs out of that division is going to be somebody that could challenge Cincinnati for that AFC championship.
Ooh, well, let's get right to that then. I was going to ask about the Rams, but okay, are we talking AFC East or AFC South here?
Yeah, I'm going to go South. Our group had Liam Cohen a couple of times and we were just blown away by him. And yeah. I think what they've got with James Gladstone and Tony Boselli down there with Liam Cohen in Jacksonville, we had the Jacksonville Denver game late last season. There's just something going on. And I really felt last season that the winner of the Jacksonville Buffalo game was going to be the AFC rep in the Super Bowl. And you know, I know the way that Jacksonville Buffalo game ended with the interception, with an opportunity to go down and win that game. You know, they've been sitting on that one all off season. So I really like Jacksonville, Houston, and a healthy Colts team that will get these teams playoff ready by the time the postseason gets ready to go underway. So I'm really looking at the AFC South as the division that has the champion come out of it. I know a lot of people are probably thinking West with Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes being healthy again, you know, Kenneth Walker being there and being a fixture coming over from Seattle. You know, you've got, you know, Denver coming back after a great season last year. You've got the Chargers. But I do feel that the South, having saw them a couple of times last year, those three teams, and walking away always impressed, not only how they played on the field, but just with our whole time visiting with the head coach and the staff and the guys on the team. I really was impressed with our interactions with all three AFC South teams. So I think the one team that comes out of the South is going to be the team that represents AFC in the Super Bowl.
Jags 15-1 to win the AFC. Moose Johnson's with us. In about 30, 40 seconds here as we say goodbye, you were on some of the most hyped up teams, and you guys delivered as the Cowboys with pressure, with all-star rosters. The Rams have an all-star roster. They're the Super Bowl favorites. What do you think is the biggest challenge for them this year to live up to the hype?
Matthew Stafford staying healthy. To me, that's the biggest thing. I know we haven't heard anything about the back since last summer. But backs are weird, right? Anything can, it can just pop up out of nowhere. So what is Matthew's health going to be during the course of the season? They pushed their chips to the table twice before, 2018, 2019, when they made it to the Super Bowl against Patriots, 2021, 2022, when they made it to the Super Bowl against the Bengals. They've done the same thing this year. Trent McDuffie, Myles Garrett. I mean, it is on paper. It's a very, very impressive team. And the big thing about the Rams organization is it's not just about paper, because Sean McVay and that staff are phenomenal. So it's not just the talent of the guys, it's the culture of the team. If they stay healthy, they're going to be really, really tough to beat. So for me, the biggest thing is going to be is how is Matthew Stafford's health during the course of the season.
Moose Johnson, NFL on Fox.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Flying on a Friday, it is a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander with Kelly Bidlin, as always, from the Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Show has been absolutely jam-packed, jelly tight. If you missed it, our number one, Bobby Carpenter, on the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Big Ten. Last segment, we chatted with Moose Johnston from NFL on Fox. He had some really interesting things to say about teams he likes in the AFC, and we broke down the NFC East as well. You missed any of those conversations on the show, you can always go back and download the program wherever you get your podcast. And it's now time for a segment we all look forward to every week on the show. It is a Fezzik Friday.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
He is the only two-time winner of the Hilton Super Contest. He is a professional bettor. He is much nicer in person, as people at Bet Bash are learning this week, than he is on social media. He is Steve Fezzik, and he joins us now in studio. And Steve, I like to have fun with you from time to time, but I got to tell you, you invited Kelly and I last weekend to your seminar.
Mm.
And we sat in for, I was only there for a couple hours.
Yeah.
We actually ended up staying way longer than we expected. We thought it was very informative, extremely helpful. Even for people who are around betting all day like we are, we loved what we saw from what you were doing with all those gentlemen over there. What hotel were we? We're the Golden Nugget. Golden Nugget.
You know, and the best part was really the guests. So I was fortunate enough. I've got contacts. Carl Sack, Killer Sports. Michael Fiddle, Fiddle's Picks. Scott Seidenberg, VEASAN's own. We had Maddie, the proxy, come in and talk. I'm going to leave people out here. Bill Krakenberger, that Crackman. And just, you know, the stories, the different things. My favorite, like, Crackman's come in from the South Point. He's got tickets fallen out of his blazer. You know, he's like, I think I played BYU Utah. I played somebody plus 2.5. You know, it's crazy.
My favorite, and this has happened once before, so apologies to Scott Seidenberg. Kelly's gotten this before, where our bosses in the past used to email me stuff for Kelly and Kelly stuff for me. Someone walked up to me and they're like, "Hey, I love your show on VSiN, but I'm trying to access something on your website." And I was like, "No. Wrong Jewish guy. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Scott Seidenberg." So feel bad for Scott, because I think I just gave him about 130 pounds added on there. But we love Scott here at VSiN.
I will go the under big time. Sorry, Scott. Yeah. Yes.
yeah, definitely the under there on that one. So the Hall of Fame game happened last night. And there's people out there doing the usual jokes. Like, if you're betting the NFL preseason, call the hotline number. But you've been doing this a long time, Steve. And I understand the trends change, the approach change, the direction changes, but why should people be betting on NFL preseason games?
Well, they shouldn't, based on my results last night, because I didn't give out anything to my clients, but I said, well, here's bets I made. This is funny. The low limit saved me, because I had like Arizona to score last in the first half. I had like plus 130 and plus 145 on those. I had Carolina to win race to 10. I think I went like 1-9 on my 10 personal bets, but the limits are so low. Yeah. But with great CLV, great closing line value.
Oh yeah.
But so I got what's that from Caddyshack, you know? But I'm like
so I got that going for
me. I didn't get a tip, but I got that going for me. But there's three schools of thought.
The
llama. Two of the three are correct. Surely the good Lord would not rain out my best round ever. Preseason numbers are weak. No one knows what they should be. And guys like at Hitman 428, who's the king of it, just crush it. All right. That's totally valid. Take two. It's complicated, right? Mm-hmm. It's totally different than NFL handicapping. We're scrambling to get ready for college football. It's very beatable. I just don't have time. Another very valid thing.
Yeah.
The third school of thought is it's degen gambling. Nobody wins at preseason. It's just completely wrong. And the best evidence I can give of it, everyone who feels that way should be promoted to be the sports book director at one of the books. And yep, believe me, by the end of preseason, when you get your teeth kicked in and people are betting plus 2 on stuff closing minus 2.5, they will basically say, "No, Moss, you were right, Fez." For the right people, it's totally beatable. But having said that, a line moves from plus two to minus 2, and people are coming, "Oh, that's the right side, minus 2. No, it was the right side.
Yes.
Back when it was plus 2.
Can we talk about that for the regular season? Because obviously there's new listeners checking in all the time, SiriusXM, YouTube TV, radio affiliates just joining VSiN. As the NFL season is approaching, can we talk about where you start the line of demarcation of where you're willing to steam chase and stop the steam chasing? I know it's key numbers, but more importantly, I think sometimes the best bets are the ones where you acknowledge, "I missed this, unfortunately, and I'm just going to have to watch it play out."
A great example, like, look at Dallas is playing the Giants, right, to open up the season. And Dallas, I think right now, is laying minus 2.85.
Yeah.
Something like that. What the heck is Fez saying? Well, basically, it's 3, but there's some 2.5 still. So I laid minus 2.5 in Dallas. And they're like, "Oh, you really like Dallas, right?" No. I bet Dallas minus 2.5. Because I'm anticipating that everyone's going to be betting Dallas, and I'm probably going to get the G-men back plus 3. I don't know. Kelly, give me an overrun. What's the best number? Plus 3. I think I get a plus 101 on the Giants. Will I do better or worse than that at post?
Ooh, I think you will do worse than that.
Well, you're worse. Remember that. I just have to get it at one book, one exchange. No vig. Treasure Island doesn't have their independent book. The win. I mean, any place. And remember, all it takes is one Baccarat player to stumble over at the win and play Dallas minus 3 for 50 dimes. And all of a sudden, they'll be scrambling to get money back on the Giants. So we'll see. I do think I'm very confident I'll get plus 3 at a nice reduced value, which, of course, if I lay 2.5 and I take 3 and I'm paying full vig, that is not profitable. As soon as I get reduced vig on one of the bets, it is profitable.
Yeah, this is interesting looking at just the board right now, because in Vegas, this is very Vegas specific, but we have South Point and Resorts World at flat 2.5s and Stations at a full 3 flat. So everybody else, yeah, has 2.5 heavy juice on that side. Steve, going back to preseason betting, where do you – because I can't wait to launch into this next week. I love how you break it down every year. I'm totally with you. Not D-Gen. If you're not comfortable with it, that's fine. There are. It's a very different 100% sport than what we're doing
with
NFL.
It's like not betting WNBA. It's
exactly.
Fine.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That doesn't mean you can't make money doing it, though. Where do you, Dustin and I have been talking about this the past couple of days. You're looking at coaches that have good ATS records. We're looking at quarterback depth charts. Where do you kind of start with your process?
Well, they used to call what Seneca Wallace was Mr. August.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was my Madden quarterback every year, Seneca Wallace.
If you just have wheels, it's such an advantage because the line play breaks down. And just
we saw it last night.
Saw last night. By the way, copyright Gil Alexander Plinko. Carolina is the right side. Play 59 minutes, 55 seconds. No idea who's going to win. Having a scrambling quarterback for your third string quarterback, really a big plus. In preseason, I really like road teams because I think the home field is not totally meaningless, but it's lessened, you know, the value.
That's interesting.
And getting, Kelly, I love +2, +2.5 road teams because the market is basically saying these teams are equal. But whereas +2 is fraught with risk in the regular season, losing overtime, all the time you get a score. A team's down 7, they score end of the game. You're going to win with +2 because they are going for 2 as sure as the sun's going to shine. They don't want to, you know, they want to win or lose. And so the value of the 1 and the 2 in preseason worth so much more. And the value of the 3, games don't land 3 as often. Having said that, we just had 1 land last night.
Steve Fezzik is with us in studio here. 2-time winner of the Super Contest, professional bettor at Fezzik Sports, where you can find him on X. And Steve, I go back to nights on Sunday, so we won't be able to have our in-studio conversation for a while. But you are one of the first people I ever listened to when it comes to betting overall, and specifically in the NFL. And you've been doing it at such a high level for such a long time. I'm curious, how has your basic strategy of how you attack the NFL changed and evolved over the years?
You know, number one, and Joe Pita did a great job discussing betting on baseball and how it's changed the last 15 years. And the brilliance of Joe Pita, who is a Wall Street guy, is he really did a presentation on the marketplace and how it's changed in all sports with a focus on baseball. Specifically, you don't have to pay any VIG anymore. You basically look at a Monday Night Football game and you're going to see the line has settled and the line is, let's say it's -7, right? And you can get the dog or the favorite -7, lay 102. And if you want to just put up an offer and say, I want the dog +7, +101, or +101.5 and penny jump everybody else by a cent and not put up big limits, you're probably going to be able to fill that. And, you know, you're probably going to be able to fill the favorite -7, even money, so that the idea of laying -110, Circa's going to get mad at me. Benson's going to get mad. There's still a great reason to be playing at Circa because of team totals, first halves, first quarters, derivatives, props. But in almost every case day of the game, you're going to be better off playing against the prediction markets, the exchanges.
All right, more with Steve coming up on Bet Bash, his nominations for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. But want to remind you, with football season almost here, the sharp money's already moving. Here's how the sharp play sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from 4 major sports books, thousands of sharp bettors, pro syndicates, tracked in real time before the market moves. That's their machine. Every play is logged, every result public, records back to 2011, live logs since 2021. No one else in the industry runs things like they do. The sharp plays, their record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycle plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling on. It's a post-football Friday. The Hall of Fame game has come and gone. Welcome back into a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin. We've got 2-time Hilton Contest winner, Steve Fezzik, in studio with us right now. Circa Resort and Casino. That is the home of Bet Bash, where Steve Fezzik has been bopping around, rubbing elbows with all the people who've tried to yell at him on the internet, and they found out he's actually a really nice guy in person. How many times has that happened to you already this week where someone said, you know what, Steve, I saw you on social media, you were talking about this, I didn't like it, and now that I've met you in person, I really like you.
It doesn't always go that way. And so
Yeah, I was going to say, usually they probably just say whatever they want to say and then run away is what would be my guess.
Look, I've been very complimentary of that crowd. That crowd doesn't feel like they're big on human interaction at times.
But my favorite is when someone says, you blocked me. And I'm like, blocked, blocked. You know what? I block people that basically just like call me names. Like, if they disagree with me, I don't block them. Yeah. They could well be right.
You kind of enjoy the disagreement because you like discourse.
But I will say, like, someone did come up. One person came up to me at a prior Bet Bash, and they were just grinning ear to ear, happy, shaking my hand. And this is a person that has just smacked me around like nonstop on their show. And I said, I'm not shaking your hand. You know, I was like a complete and utter jerk to me. He's like, Fez was a jerk to me. And you're like, you better believe it. I mean, after what I put up with, come say it to me directly. Don't grin and be happy face with me and then go online and say what a dumbo I am.
You know, that's interesting. Twitter has created a mindset where everyone's the victim of their own story. Right. Everyone's always the victim. Oh, they didn't do this to me. They didn't do that to me. And then you go back and check the receipt. You're like, hold on. Wait, this was said first. You were the first one with the shots fired. But how's Bet Bash been going? Have you been enjoying it? Because I didn't realize 800 people. That's a lot of people at this thing.
Spanky, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he still has his voice. Just luminaries everywhere. It's just fantastic. It is a young man's game, though. And I would say, like, the number one piece of advice to everyone, if they do want to attend, is you got to have a bye week. You got to have a bye to, you know, sessions where you got to just take a nap in the afternoon if you're going to stay out late. I can't keep up with the kids. I can't go to the open bars, and I love free drinks, but, you know, and
yeah,
it, you just lose your voice. And hey, circus swim's awesome. 110 degrees, alcohol.
What could go wrong?
Hey, what could possibly go wrong?
I went to two panels yesterday and skipped the open bar as well. Okay, I just, that's like a pat myself on the back. Okay?
That is upset of the century, right, stuff for Kelly Bidlin.
I didn't have a single drink yesterday. I went to two panels. I wrote down notes. I'm with Steve. It's great stuff going on up there. You've got your panel coming up here in about a half an hour. Give us a little bit of a preview because Dustin and I are going
to
miss it.
Yeah, so pack your pitchfork. Be sure to bring your shotgun. So it's the ethics of touting. And, of course, famously, in Spanky's direction, we correct that he always says, F them, don't give them a dime. And he is correct 97% of the time. Having said that, I'd give Michael Fiddle a whole lot to be able to get all his plays. So there's exceptions to the rule.
Well, talk to me about that. So go a little bit further because it's a landscape where people are used to seeing people with the picks out there, but you've always been pretty transparent about teach a man to fish, right? That's the whole thing, and they'll be able to fish forever. I butchered that proverb, whatever it is. But you get what I'm saying is figure out your own way to do it. And if that is with watching other people's picks and how they operate and learning from it, but to me, at the end of the day, isn't the whole objective here to find your strategy that works best for you?
100%. You know, and there's things that people are just going to have to agree to disagree. Like, one of the things that I have run into is people be like, Fez, you gave out that CFL play. Ah, Andrew McGinnis gave that out on his podcast, you know, on Tuesday night.
Oh, Steve, the amount of times that I've said a future I loved and then I get the at mentions of, you're ripping off this guy. And then I go check the dates. I said it first.
Well, but I'm going to come over the top and say it irrelevant. If GRP wins, George, we love George,
yes,
right? If he's listened to Mitch and Pauly, and Mitch and Pauly make a great case for Carolina and why they're going to be in the playoffs and the like in the NBA, and then George comes out and says, hey, I made all these bets. They're still widely available. Now, he can't come out and give out a bet that where the number is compromised. But if someone has, you know, I almost want to come on with you Sunday night, Dustin, and give out plays and then say, copyright Steve Fezzik. You're not allowed to bet Atlanta +3/-105 against Pittsburgh anymore. That's my play.
Yeah.
And anyone who does, like there was one group that was hypercritical of me. And I remember I gave out, you know, four Thanksgiving prop bets, all right? Three of the four got matched by them in their prop-a-palooza, where they had on all their different experts as best bets, and their defense was, well, we don't even listen to you, Steve. That doesn't count. You know, everyone can release the same play. There's no copyright on it, and I try to attribute, you know, the plays to people, and I think ideally you want to do that all the time. Now, there's an exception to the rule. You can't just take someone who gives out 10 college basketball plays and release eight of them as your own. I mean, that's ridiculous.
But yeah. But also, you're in these groups. You have a lot of group texts where you guys operate kind of in your own little circle, and you guys convince each other, like, hey, I really like this today. Here's why. Well, I'm going to fire on it. We'll do it. Isn't that how the sharp money narrative gets creative, is when these people who are betting more, they move the market? And if that group's happening, why wouldn't other people have the same thought process about the same situations? Or there could be bleed over with people from the same groups now conversing in other groups.
You know, it's really Wall Street 101. Gordon Gekko is out there trying to get information. Like, he dresses up as a janitor, right? Well, yeah. This is illegal, so probably a bad example. Yeah. But the idea is, doing the surveillance, he always says, stop giving me information and start going out there and getting it. And how do you get information? Paul Stone's coming on VSiN. He's a guest. And he has, you know, that Southern drawl, and he's not intimidating at all, but he's got great nuggets. And if he says, you know, I think Texas might actually not be underrated this year, whatever he's saying,
yeah, right.
And then he gives out a pick. Like, of course, if I agree, it's going to go on video. Other people are going to be listening. Boom. If I already was looking towards that side and Paul Stone indicates he likes it, of course, I'm going to give it out, mm-hmm. You know?
Now, we've talked about this before, Steve. I know this is one of your big things, but for right now, people preparing for the NFL regular season, maybe they're not betting preseason like we talked about before, but they're preparing to bet the NFL regular season. Best things they can be doing right now to prep for the upcoming season.
Just what works for me, all right? I love Mark Lawrence. So I start with Mark Lawrence's annual, and people are like, but wait, Steve, Warren Sharp has the 700-page, you know, encyclopedia on every team. And you know what? It's better than Mark Lawrence's annual, but there's limited hours of the day. I'm still betting baseball. Yep. I'm still betting the other sports. And for me, my bang for the buck, if I want to look at a schedule, and I've got a copy of Mark's playbook in the car, one at home, and then boom, I can immediately look up. I can look up the past history. What works for me is to speed network through multiple different annuals and try to glean information. I don't just follow what everyone says, but try to glean really good information, you know, from everyone.
Well, the information during the NFL season, it's we start to get into a routine where we kind of know how it goes. We have our primetime pillars. We have Monday, we have Thursday, we have Sunday night. Those are the primetime pillars, and Sunday all day, obviously. But as that information comes out, how quick are you reacting to news? Because in today's world, it's a little bit different from when you first started. Sometimes if you had the news before the news had the news, you could get down. But by the time you hear something or see something and you fire up the sportsbook app, they have the same news as you now.
100%. And it's even worse. Like the odds service, like you'll see Don Best like alert you about, oh, this guy's in. But the money moved on that team 20 minutes before, mm-hmm. because people are following all the Twitter feeds and the beat writers. And they know about it the second it's happening. That's why Hitman does so good in preseason with the quarterback rotations and et cetera. So it's almost like sometimes back when I consulted for Pinnacle, I remember Henry would be looking at, he couldn't name a player, was fantastic. He used to tell me, we went to lunch and he says, Steve, we lose $1,000 an hour when I'm at lunch. We make $2,000 an hour when I'm there in front of the screen, because he can't name a player. He's looking, it's like, whoa, the Blue Jays, what's going on here? Yeah. Grande just moved 5 cents. You know, like he would handicap the marketplace just tremendously, looking for sharp moves.
Well, so real quick on that before we go here, Steve, you're not someone who studies depth charts. You're not watching film, but you've been a professional bettor for a long time. I think sometimes a lot of us get caught up in the minutia of sports and X's and O's and matchups. You make it pretty simple in how you approach things.
Yeah, but it's complex also. So live wagering is a totally different animal. I'll give an example. I'll throw this out to you. You guys are going to miss this. It's college football Saturday. There's 14 games on TV. Which one should you live bet? Which one?
The highest scoring game.
The one that they're not paying attention to.
Yes, the one that's on Peacock or hidden somewhere else that you can't.
The one that's only on the ESPN Plus app.
Exactly. And secondly, do you want an indoor game or an outdoor game?
I want an outdoor.
Yes, why?
Because
more chaos.
Effects, yeah.
You want good weather on the outdoor game or bad weather?
Bad.
Absolutely. So your ideal game is some obscure game being played in a hamlet in front of hardly anyone, with stands that aren't blocking down the wind, that has a tailwind and a headwind of 30 miles an hour, and no one's paying attention, and there might be severe rain or there might not during the game, and you're live betting, and obviously it'd be better to have somebody, you know, at Southern Miss or wherever the game is, but the advantages you can get there, you can be like, oh, this team's like statistically is terrible. But yeah, they've been going in the wind the whole right. first quarter, 25 miles an hour. It's time to bet on them to win the first half.
Steve, this has been fun. All right, Gil gets custody back next week. He'll return to a numbers
game. Let's put Mark Lawrence and let's put Dr. Bob in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame. If there was a snake draft, all these betting syndicates, I don't know if Bob goes number one. He goes top five with all these syndicates over all the Hall of Fame bookmakers.
See you, Steve. Steve Fezzik, pro better.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with Kelly Bidlin, Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas, Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, VSiN Watch App, radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America, and Game Plus up in Canada. Golf update with the Wyndham Championship, Kelly. Looking like we still have Ben James atop the board, tied for second.
Who?
Ben James.
Very good. You got it.
It was my own joke being played back to me, and it took me a second to calibrate in the moment.
You did a good job.
Can you tell, like, a couple months into this, I'm not used to mornings yet?
Right, yeah.
Doug Gim in second place with Max Gracerman. Thigala, Bo Hostler, all tied there. When do we see a push from some of the more prominent names we're used to on tour? Because this is the last regular season event of the year, Kelly, and I feel like a lot of people placed their bets, built their DFS lineups with the whole approach needed with staying in the top 70 golfers to remain playing here.
Yeah, top 70. So, yeah, I mean, look, a lot of the big name guys well inside of that, right? Not really worrying about it. But yeah, top 70 gets you into the playoffs here. And if you can lock up a top 50 spot this week, too, you are PGA Tour card for the next 2 years cleared in every signature event next season. That's actually huge. And we all talk about the top 70. The top 50 part's massive as well.
Okay. Well, we will monitor it throughout here on VSiN all day, all weekend long. And I will talk about whoever wins this event on Sunday night with Cashing Out returning.
Boom.
Now, last night, we got our first little taste of football. I don't want to call it an amuse-bouche, which is like, you know, one bite appetizer. To me, that was like a platter of nachos.
It was great.
It was evenly covered with cheese and sour cream and guacamole and the beans and meat of your choosing. It was well layered. Something we're not used to.
I watched more of that game than I have of maybe any Hall of Fame game ever. It was the most exciting and entertaining one I can ever remember. Not even close.
It felt like it mattered.
Yeah, it kind of did.
And it didn't, but it felt like it mattered.
Are we ever going to see that many points again in the Hall of Fame game? That's the other question I have out of it.
I don't know. The total was 34, and Carolina scored 33.
Is that where we closed, by the way?
We closed at 34. It was 36.5 the opener. That was the highest opener since 2012 at 36.5. Final score, by the way, Panthers 33, Cardinals 30. Panthers minus one, over 34 easily gets there. Canales is now 1-6 against the spread, his first cover as an NFL coach. That was the Panthers' first time playing in the Hall of Fame game, and they get the dub.
Oh, that's a big deal. Dave Canales popping some champagne last night. There you go.
Dave Canales is my favorite author in the NFL. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up, people. His quarterback last night, Haynes King, ran in the game winner from the five with no time left. I just keep seeing Taysom Hill and Haynes King. I think that's the way to utilize him right now at the next level. And then Carson Beck, that was probably the bigger story. He's 25-1 to be your offensive rookie of the year. Mike LaFleur, his head coach, reacted to the performance from Carson Beck, who went 15-19 for a .188 and a touchdown in the Hall of Fame game.
Good, but not surprised. It's the same guy that I felt like you saw watching the tape. Didn't watch a lot of them, you know, I would say live on Saturdays by any means, because I don't watch a ton of college football in the moment, but he's been in so many big moments. This was a really cool environment. I'm glad that we got to play in this, and you know, you never know if you're ever going to be able to play in one of these again. So, albeit a preseason game, it doesn't count in the win-loss. But it was a cool environment for him to just kind of, you know, hey, it's just another game. And that's the way he took it, and he's been in big ones. And, you know, I think that's just kind of how his mindset works.
That's the biggest thing for me, Kelly, is that you can tell Carson Beck is very calm under pressure because of all the experience at Georgia,
going
to the title game with Miami a year ago.
He hasn't been nervous since he was 8 years old.
No,
What was the quote?
Yeah, it was basically that.
Warner or something like that?
Yeah, you know how everyone hedges that. It's not nerves. It's excitement. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing, yeah.
But I thought he threw some lasers. I thought he took shots that were something we're not used to seeing in the preseason. He just looked very composed. And you can pretty much tell if someone has it or not pretty quickly. And you can tell there's something there. I don't know what the ceiling is. I don't know what the floor is. But I know it's worth exploring if you're the Arizona Cardinals. Now, we'll temper the enthusiasm by acknowledging the defense he saw was not exactly exotic. They weren't bringing unique pressures. They were just kind of trying to go through their defense and run their base. So I think you can be positive about Carson Beck, but also understanding there are limitations to what you actually saw versus what reality is.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the classic preseason stuff of, man, there were some ugly defense that we saw last night at times. I think that is absolutely true. But you brought up first segment, I think it was a great point of just the you're going to get these quarterbacks that have a little bit more experience now and need to be aware of it as if you're starting to bet preseason games.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to be my approach for betting the preseason. If there's college coaches that I really, or college quarterbacks that I really like, that I know have a ton of experience or ready to hit the ground running and prove themselves, I'll be willing to back them. And more notably, if they can use their legs like Haynes King.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if it stuck out to you as much as it did to me, but the brother LaFleur, the other LaFleur, man, oh boy, that's making me feel old. Cause he looks like he's 25 years old.
Oh, well, the thing that jumped out to me when we played that clip, is it possible to cue up the clip, but just, I want to see the visual, guys. I don't need to hear it. I just want to see it. Because, look, you got a great head of hair. I am currently balding. I rotate products I use.
Oh, he's got great hair going,
Today, it is just the leave-in conditioner, which looks horrible. Normally, I use a powder that makes it look a little bit thicker.
Huh.
What product do you think Mike LaFleur is using in his hair?
Oh, he's got a...
It's not pomade.
No, it's not. He's got one of those, like, matte creams going on. I use some of these.
A borderline glue?
Yeah, he might be going glue. It doesn't look like he's got. It doesn't look like it's that firm, though, right? It looks like he's using something similar to me, though.
Yeah, no, yours look is a little bit wetter look.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's something that keeps it in place, but it's not totally locked in. I this is an obsession for me because with the wrong product,
it's quality hair.
You can see my scalp if I use the wrong product, so I gotta be careful.
Yeah,
but I think the reason why I'm balding is because I used to have the Jersey Shore blowout.
Nice.
And I used to use glue. It was called glue.
Yeah,
it was in the yellow bottle.
And they got to still have that out there, right?
They do, but I'm pretty sure it used to dry and I'd take it out of my hair and chunks of my hair would come out and never grow back. Just think about what you're using. You're using a product that
it's
is similar
glue.
To glue.
Yeah. Glue brand, sponsorship opportunities available.
NFL Week 1 is going to be here before you know it. I think we should kick this to the next two segments here and let this cross-pollinate
a bit. We have preseason openers coming down.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of preseason, but you and I were talking about, should we start looking ahead to Week 1 in the NFL? Because the numbers have moved to some degree, but there's going to be late movement as well. Once we get to NFL Week, people I should start focusing on the league. So I wrote down a bunch of games that I want to fire on right now, or at least that jump out to me. A general strategy early on, though, and I feel like people say this because they want to sound sharp, but genuinely, in the NFL, I'm almost only looking at unders. I couldn't identify an over in the NFL if my life depended on it.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I bet way more sides and totals anyways in the NFL, but especially early on, I'm usually, it's interesting you say about the overs. I just don't, I'm really not, it has to be a total that really jumps out to me to get involved in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, and I think a big part of what I'm doing early in the year is focusing on underdogs, not necessarily betting underdogs, but it's more, I think the market is underrating this underdog and find reasons why, but also the overrating of an underdog and looking on the other side for a favorite. For example, one that jumped out to me, the Bills at the Texans Week 1, Buffalo's -1.5. So explain this one to me. Buffalo with the offense that can move the football is -1.5. And I understand Houston's defense is incredible, but is Josh Allen ever really blown out of games? Is he ever really just completely smashed? So if this game is going to come down to the fourth quarter, isn't your handicap that one quarterback's going to have to make plays for his team to win, and the one that I trust is Josh Allen, I have no problem laying that short number on the road.
I think this – I love that you started with this game because I think I would be – look, this is – I've got a bunch written down as well that I will be tracking here. I think you got to be careful with timing because it's a tricky dance, right? It's a delicate dance, right? If you want to get the best of the number, but are you betting too early where we still got all these preseason games, training camps to go, where we see all these guys that get hurt just in the first few days of camp? You don't know how much this could change between if you bet this now and when we actually kick off week one. So I just, fair warning, because we each play that game, and there's not really a right answer of exactly when to get in because you might have to suffer through that. This game, though, I think best total on the board to me, 44.5. That was one I wrote down, under 44.5. These are two teams that you brought up. I would expect it's going to be close late. Texans lean on that defense, and what do the Bills love to do? Bills love ball control offense, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, keep it out of that other offense's hands. I think under... I hear you on the side. I think this is a tight game, though. This is one I brought up yesterday. Major teaser opportunity here. There are 1.5s out there on both sides right now. I think either side I would tease up and be comfortable with, Dustin.
All right, I like that, actually. I like that idea. You talked about the ball control aspect and looking for teams that are going to play that style and identify unders. I think I have a matchup in week one that we'll get to next where both teams are going to use that approach, and I'll explain why. Want to remind you, I'm back to late nights on Sunday. Cashing out returns once the primetime games wrap. The real breakdown gets started with me, Dustin Sweetelson. We'll react. We'll preview the next day. We got you covered. Sunday, 10 Eastern, weeknights at 11, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.